Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through their industry insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Russell Jack. He is an author. He is a retired U.S. senior federal air marshal, and he has written this book, Is MAGA a Terrorist Movement? Welcome to the show, Russell.
Thank you, AJ. Appreciate it.
You are welcome to the show, Russell. You are welcome to India in this online form. And I'm sure not just in India, but a lot of people across the US, across the world, will benefit from what we are going to talk about. We'll be talking about MAGA, about democracy. We will talk about politics. So my first question to you, Russell, is to understand, you were in the US as an air marshal, federal air marshal, and then you retired, and then you wrote this book. Why did you write this book about MAGA? Is MAGA a terrorist movement?
Well, AJ, I'm glad you asked that question. The reason I wrote the book is starting in 2016, when the Trump and MAGA party started to get prominence, I spent 20 years as a counterterrorist, which is what air marshals do. And unfortunately, during that last few years, starting from 2016, especially after 2017, when President Trump became president, they started being emboldened to take actions as far as how they talked and how they acted. And one of the problems I ran into is I also worked as an instructor. So I had a lot of direct dealings with agents and government employees that were sympathetic to the MAGA cause. And even though it was brought up to higher levels of management, one of my concerns was if they were sympathetic to any other group that met the definitions of terrorism, it would definitely cause a problem with their clearance and they would no longer be employees. But instead, because it was a homegrown movement that isn't considered a terrorist organization, which is a classification like we do with foreign terrorist organizations, they couldn't be gone after as an organization. So my concern was any organization that uses intimidation and violence to achieve a political objective, especially against civilians and the government, that literally is the definition of terrorism, and they were engaging in those activities. So obviously it caused a lot of angst for me in those last 6 years before I retired, dealing with people who were openly supportive of a group that used the methods of terrorism as counterterrorists. So once I retired, I realized I had to take the risk of coming out saying who I was and what I used to do in order to make everyone aware of not only that was MAGA a problem as far as in the populace, but it's definitely a problem as far as them being in all levels of government and both civilian side and military.
Right, Russell. So I want to understand, why is it your problem? I do understand as a citizen it is, but in terms of when the next administration took over, you know, isn't it their problem? Aren't they aware of it? Shouldn't they be taking care of these things? If there is a difficult sort of a thing that is happening within the system, I want to understand, or is the system not responsive at all to any of these things? Means they come in and they just want to do their own things without, you know, taking care of the things that really matter. Help us understand this part.
One of the problems is with any government is its people in it. And governments are supposed to be there for the people. They're supposed to be there to protect and make safe and let people enjoy their lives and feel free. When government employees start feeling that it's the other way around, that it's the public's job to put them in power and to give them power, that's, I think, where the problem really starts in all forms of government. One of the things that I'm concerned about is democracies are always fragile. There's checks and balances, and once players start coming in to upset those checks and balances, like what happened to us under the Trump administration, where there was a lot of attempts to weaken those checks and balances. We saw it just recently, you know, with the impeachments. It was very clear from the evidence that was there, in my opinion, I always have to say in my opinion, and in America, it's a litigious society. So in my opinion, there was more than enough evidence for both those impeachments, especially the January 6th event. I mean, that is a pretty much textbook definition of a self coup and of an insurrection. So anyone watching that can't possibly say, hey, it's coincidental that January 6th was the day they were ratifying the votes, the president and the vice president. And that's the 12th Amendment in our Constitution, which was violated by a terrorist movement known as MAGA, Make America Great Again.
Right, right. So if I understand, and that elected governments, elected administrations, they are not as responsive to people's needs as they should be, then in that sense only, the democracy is always, you know, precariously hanging in such sort of a mindset. Why is, you know, why do you call that MAGA is a threat to, you know, US's liberal democracy, especially in the backdrop of when already the administrations are not that responsive? For example, as an outsider, I can see, you know, in the earlier administration and even in the present administration, it means I want to see hope into it. But why is only one thing worrying you? I want to understand from you.
Okay. Well, one of the things I want to deal with is, I know I'm talking with a world audience, not just the United States. The vast majority of people just want to live in peace, not be at war, not worry about their families or their employment or, you know, society working. So most vast majority of people, that's what they want. In America, where I'm at, the problem with the MAGA movement specifically is, unlike other terrorist organizations that we've dealt with, where we have a lot of authority, and law to go after them. Any aid towards the terrorist movement can be considered a crime and they can go after them. And the problem is, without MAGA being labeled a terrorist organization, they can't go after them in that way. So my concern with it is that it's a homegrown movement that is trying to affect the government, effectively to try to take over and have control. MAGA wants complete control of governments wherever they can get it, in order to implement their viewpoints. And one of the things I talk about in my book is, part of an effective democracy is sometimes you don't win. Prior to 2016, you know, if a Democrat won or a Republican won, it was like, okay, they win this time, or we get something in the middle. Nobody really identified. You didn't have people, you know, for the most part, walk around going, hey, I'm a Democrat, hey, I'm a Republican. It was just, hey, I vote that way. Whereas MAGA, they identify as MAGA. For them, it's part of who they are as people. So one of the scary things about a cult of personality, which is what Donald Trump is. I mean, he has millions of followers waiting to take action on his every tweet. And one of my concerns is that with this particular movement, they've managed to infiltrate, you know, all levels of government. And the reason I picked this particular movement is because, unlike the terrorist organizations overseas, the foreign ones, they've never really had any hope of taking over the government. I mean, even when 9/11 happened and Al-Qaeda killed over 3,000 of our people and terrorized millions, their political goal is to get us out of their lands. That's kind of the stated goal of Al-Qaeda, is to get us out of Islamic lands and basically to stop messing with them. Their intent was never to take over the country. None of these domestic terrorists, foreign terrorist organizations have any real hope of taking over America. We have over 300 million people who would fight them. But what's scary is when you're talking about millions of people who actively support the illegal actions that occurred on January 6th, you have many millions who think the election was fraudulent, even though it's been clearly proven that it is not. That's what scares me, is this is the only terrorist organization that actually has a real chance of taking over the American government. For people around the world, it's the same concern everywhere. You know, in the 30s with Germany, you know, with Benito Mussolini, with Adolf Hitler, any of these people who have basically a dictatorship, you know, they're going to not be what the people want. So in any place, you're going to want to try to fight that. So in America, our biggest threat to taking over the government is definitely MAGA.
Right, right. You said about India, when you are addressing to people in India, you see, you understand, yours is the largest democracy, India is the world's biggest democracy. And that is why a lot of things that happens in the US, we watch very closely, carefully, try to understand it, how much, you know, what is happening in what level. So that is where, you know, and it includes a lot of people in India who are in the rural areas. They may have limitations in the way the world is looking at themselves, but a lot of our, rural population know about democracy, they know about politics, they understand politics, not only about India, but also about the world. And that is where I mentioned that India is the largest democracy in the world. The US is the biggest democracy of the world. And here we are talking about that MAGA might be a threat to the democracy that the US has. So I want to understand, Russell, is that why is MAGA so bad? It's all about, you know, make America great again. Is that a bad slogan? People want to go back to the past and bring out something. I want to understand, for an outsider, they will always understand it like that. A lot of countries in the world leadership keep on talking about, you know, about the greatness of the past. Whether there was greatness or no greatness, we don't know. But that's what a lot of people say. In the US, what's wrong with this particular sort of a slogan?
Well, that's one of the dangers of the slogan. I talk a lot about pseudo-patriotism or pseudo-religion, which is basically the people who are using, who are the extremists, who are willing to use illegal force and harm against others in order to enforce the will of their religion or their beliefs, or even their political goals. So one of the concerns with MAGA is, as I heard a conversation from someone else who's talking to someone else, and they said, well, don't you want to make America great again? You know, when they said to him, hey, I'm against MAGA. And the problem with that slogan is it sounds great. Hey, let's all make America great again. Who wouldn't want that? That's the other reason why they've falsely taken over our flag. You know, they've usurped it from us, co-opted it from us. So that nowadays when people in America, a lot of times when we see flags, you know, our first thought is, oh, that's probably a MAGA person. And that's the danger in it, is by using that slogan, they're implying, hey, we're going to make America better. But when you really take a hard look at what their Make America Great Again concept is, it goes back to like the area of the 1950s in America, where we had people who could have a one income family, live at home, the mom takes care of the house, the kids go play, they live in a detached yard in a safe neighborhood. It's what I had when I was a child. And then in the 80s, inflation came, my mom had to go back to work. That particular environment only lasted for a short period of time, because part of how it existed was the generational effect of taking advantage of minorities, women, and people like that in order to have that power base, combined with our advantageous position in America after World War II. So those conditions to have that kind of one income family lifestyle for most Americans has gone away. And I think a lot of people are nostalgic about that and they want to bring it back again. But the problem is you can't. The world has moved on. And we're no longer in a situation where you have that level of luxury because you're not part of an elite group. Now we're sharing to some extent that wealth more equally because of we've gone against discrimination. You know, we've made the changes in America to make it a better place. And now we have people who want to go back 200 years. For example, the originalist concept you hear about from our Supreme Court. One of the things I talk about in my book is Justice Alito said, you know, that anything is not deeply rooted in our Constitution isn't protected, basically. Well, the problem is if you go back to deeply rooted, that's 1791, you know, when our first 10 were passed, the Bill of Rights. We've made a lot of progress since then. If you go back to then, women can't vote. Black people aren't people, they're slaves. There's a lot of things that we go back 200 years that's not the America that I fought for. That's not the America that most of us want. And that's my concern, is that the way our representative democracy is set up in America, it's not a true democracy. We don't have just 51% people vote and that's the law. We have a representative democracy. So part of the concern is by people getting to positions of power, they can have a minority of people actually take over the government from a majority that doesn't want that, because we have an electoral college that's kind of flawed. And that leads to gerrymandering, which is where you draw lines around districts in order to get the vote you want. And then, of course, we have voter suppression going against the Voter Rights Act and things like that. I know a lot of this stuff is pertinent only to America, and I'm talking to a worldwide audience. But I think almost everyone in the world wants the same thing we do in America. They want peace. They want to be able to live a healthy, safe life in a safe society without having to worry about themselves or their mates or their children. So we all, I think most people in America want exactly the same thing. I think all human beings deserve to have their freedom. They deserve to have their life be respected and to be treated equally.
Right, Russell. Let's talk about the book. It's a difficult subject, at least from my point of view. It's not easy to talk about such a subject. How have you dealt this subject in your book? You know, and even an article would need a lot of nuance. A book is as I'm sure. I would like to know, what have you dealt in that book? Who is that book for?
So that book is for everyone. I am realistic in that I think I'm going to get very few MAGA people that are going to buy that book or read any of that book. I certainly hope they would. You can sign up to my website, magaterrorism.com. Doesn't cost anything. The preface and the first two chapters in there. The second chapter is specifically, But I Am MAGA is the name of the chapter. And it's specifically aimed towards people who are in MAGA. A lot of them, my brothers and sisters in arms in both the police and the military, we're there to defend the Constitution. In short, to defend people's rights. And the problem is the MAGA movement is taking away those rights. And so you have people who are sworn to protect all of the Constitution and yet are openly going against that. So there is the problem in my end.
Right, right. So I want to understand, you say that, you know, democracy, U.S. democracy is very precariously close to losing it. You know, you people are precariously close to losing it forever. Why do you think like that? Will one, America's democracy so fragile that one movement or a couple of such movements can actually, you know, make you people lose that? It's a very hard-earned freedom, and you have such a past that you have come out to this stage. I want to understand your mindset. I do understand your mindset with which you have written, but I want to understand it further.
No problem. My entire adult life has been law enforcement, military, and counterterrorism for the last 20 years. So obviously I have a particular bent towards counterterrorism. My concern is that this particular group is, and the way it's going into the government, there's a very real chance. It isn't going to happen instantly. I don't think anybody, even on MAGA side, is going to say, hey, let's just get rid of the Constitution and have a dictator in charge. But what happens is, when you watch how fascist governments work, and for everybody listening, a fascist government quite simply is just one party rule with a dictator at top. And they don't tolerate any sort of oppression or resistance. They go after them 100%. So my concern is, democracy, our liberal democracy in America, is very fragile. Once they start breaking some of the checks and balances, once they start effectively getting one party in control, especially when we're talking about MAGA, or any group that's willing to have effectively a dictator atop, someone who's an idealized leader, which Donald Trump is to them. My concern is, once they get into power, they can start doing things. I mean, we've seen books being banned in Florida. That's never unheard of. We have our Supreme Court saying, hey, only the states can't enforce it. Colorado Supreme Court said, hey, he can't be on the ballot because he committed insurrection, talking about Donald Trump. And the Supreme Court came along and said, no, states can't enforce the Constitution. That's basically what they said. They said, states don't have legal authority to enforce the federal Constitution, only Congress. Well, Congress is who let him off on the two impeachments, so they're obviously not going to. So what they've effectively done is said, hey, you can be an insurrectionist and run for office. And it's very clear in our Constitution, I know it's an American Constitution for people listening, but in that particular amendment, it makes it incredibly clear that you cannot hold any office, which is a position or employment, in any state or in the federal government if you have engaged in any way or helped or aided or supported anyone who's involved in insurrection. It's very, very clear. So the fact that we're starting to see some of these machinations, we're starting to see government actually saying, hey, you know what, we're just going to go ahead and gloss over some of these constitutional rights. Very, very concerning. And once they get to the point, especially they can take over First Amendment, where they can start controlling the narrative, that's usually where the beginning of the end starts. It doesn't happen overnight. I think MAGA patriots, and I put that in quotes, I call them pseudo-patriots, truly believe what they're doing is the right thing. But the scary part is, when you take a hard look at it, anyone who's a counterterrorist should be fighting them tooth and nail. Anyone who took an oath to defend the Constitution, which is everyone in the government, military and civilian. I wouldn't want any group, even if it was the Democrats. If the Democrats could elect a dictator and take one party rule and make sure MAGA went away forever, I would be 100% against them as well. Whenever you get one party rule and a dictator, you start getting people who only care about themselves and do not care about the populace.
Have you talked about solutions in the book? Any Yes. sort of, you know, call to actions? Nowadays is the age of CTAs, call to action, so that people can easily follow it. So what are the solutions for that?
So one thing that's interesting is now that I'm retired, I obviously was employed to go after and go after bad guys and protect, you know, the citizenry from them. Now that I'm retired, I'm just like everyone else. I'm a citizen. So what we can do as citizens, the biggest thing is making everyone aware of the threat, spreading the word, and telling people, hey, you know, this is a serious problem. And we need to address it. So that's the first part. The second part is terrorism is also illegal. So when you see people engaging in terroristic acts, it's one thing to express your viewpoint. I have no problem with that. This isn't an anti-conservative, anti-Republican thing. If you have a viewpoint, hey, vote. That's what our country's about. But when you start using illegal actions, illegal intimidation, illegal force, illegal harm, to create an environment of fear so that your political party wins and has complete control, that has to be stopped. So what we can do as citizens is we can report any illegal activities to the authorities. If the authorities don't get involved, we can report that as well, because they're required to, they have a legal obligation to. And obviously, this goes without saying, the biggest thing is vote. Every election you can, vote against them. And unfortunately in America, I think it was back in the 30s with Wallace, we got changed into a two-party system. So now effectively a third party can't win. So we only have two parties, the Democrats and Republicans. So as long as Trump and MAGA, which are one and the same, they're inseparable. Now that Trump and MAGA is the forerunner for the Republican Party, if you look at their charter, law and order, protection of the Constitution, those things are gone. So effectively the Republican Party is no more. It is now the fascist party of MAGA. And then you have the Democrats, which is the only choice left for liberal democracy at this point. And I'm not saying that because of a pro-Democrat thing. I'm saying we have to vote, in my opinion, against MAGA every chance we get. And in a two-party system, the way to do that is to vote Democrat, unfortunately. I do hope someday Republicans get back their party. But if you look at what Republicans hold dear, in my book, I talk about what they said they wanted for president 2016. And they said that first he must uphold the rule of law himself. I don't think too many people, even though he's alleged, okay, he hasn't been convicted of any crimes. He has 91 felony charges. Okay. That doesn't sound like something that meets their criteria for what the Republicans want as a leader.
Absolutely. So a lot of people would like to know more about you, more from you, and also about get your book. So what is the best way for them to get your book as well as to connect with you?
Connecting with me is easy. MAGAterrorism.com. And on it, I have links to my book, both the print version and the ebook version. We're finishing up the audiobook now. So hopefully within the next 2-3 weeks, we'll have the audiobook out as well for people who like to listen to that. But if you go on MAGAterrorism.com, I have a blog section. I have a media section for podcasts such as this. It's still growing. You know, I'm just getting started with this. So it's not, you know, it isn't huge yet. But, you know, I'm adding more and more every chance I get to it. So they can go to MAGAterrorism.com. And again, the name of my book is MAGA Terrorist Movement. You can look it up on Amazon and buy it that way. And please spread the word, whether you buy the book or not. Please spread the word, not just in America, in the world. Nobody wants to live under a fascist government or a dictator. No one does.
Absolutely. With this, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.